weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Heron, the dancing has begun on a return music cut.
Full house on a Monday.
Let's go.
Let's ride.
I understand we have a special caller. Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa app today.
Who calling?
Hey!
Hi, my CC. How you doing?
Ozzy, thank you so much for calling in today.
Hey, you know how much proud I feel about it. I know you are very, very a workaholic woman. You earn it. You deserve it. Now you have it. All my best. If you want the person here in Chicago, nobody's business, go the right way, work hard, try to get better every day. I cannot have enough word to tell you how proud, not just me, I think all my family are. And it has been very great news to see you. You got your own show, and hopefully the best. And pretty soon I'll be in your show. Please.
Oh, Ozzy, you know, of course you're welcome on any of our shows.
You better get in line, Ozzy. A lot of people want to be on this show.
Ozzy, I thank you for calling in, but also, like, thank you for just being awesome for so long. I spoke to a group on Wednesday. They asked me to speak, and I thought about you because you encouraged me to do it. You know how much fun we used to have on White Sox pre- and post-game, no matter what the day, no matter what the situation. Ozzy, and I tried to say this to them, and I will also say this to you. Your personality is amazing, but you are that much better of a teammate and then some. You are a wonderful teammate. Your knowledge is outstanding. You've taught me so much. I can't even begin to describe how much you've forgotten that I wish I would know. So thank you. You know, and your family is awesome to me. All of your boys, your grandkids, Evie's, you know, you guys mean the world to me. Thank you.
I know it's a pleasure to call you to congratulate you, bro. You know what I mean? I'm so proud of you. You know, for the first thing I called Mitch to say, hey, give me my lady a chance to come, you know, to show you what you have. And then Mitch did it. And, you know what I mean? I was so thank you to Mitch Rosen to give you the opportunity. Now you grab it. Now you have it. CeCe, I wish you the best, buddy.
Thank you, Ozzy. And tell everybody I said hi. You know, of course, all the grandkids, Ozzy, Osne, Junior, and then Oni as well. Please tell everybody I said hello.
Hey, congratulations. I know you're going to have great, great people going to join your show. That's a fact, and I know for a fact you're going to be great. I love you, and congratulations, sweetie.
Love you, Ozzy. Thank you so much. And tell everybody at CHSN we said hello. So thank you.
I will do that. I love you.
Love you back, Oz.
I can't believe you didn't tell him we talked about Cliff Polite today.
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned that, shouldn't I?
Should have led with that, honestly. Something he would appreciate.
That was really nice. That was really cool.
And, you know, we had a great time hosting the show together. As you know, I got to do that as part of my role at NBC, and that always meant a lot to me. So that's always nice when he's on, you know. And I feel like a little bit deja vu because I've done the full-time host announcement thing before. So I appreciate you guys rolling with it.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
I assume, Grody, is Dick Geron going to call about your 2 days a week on the show at some point?
Geron!
I mean, it's...
Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Tevin Jenkins would be good.
Yeah, nice little surprise guest.
Grobber from above, maybe. I don't know how he got this job in the first place. Why in the world would they ever give him a show? I don't understand it. That's what Grobber would say. Yeah.
I do miss. My favorite 2020 element was, as far as Score Radio is concerned, was Grody mixing with Grobber for the transition between the overnight and the morning show.
It was something, man. It was something. Yeah, I would listen to him as I walked into the studio, and I would listen to whatever he was on to, and I'd be like, okay, I could probably work with that. I could probably come up with something to go on the other side of that, like the Arlington Heights thing and putting the AH on the helmet.
AH was my favorite.
Yeah, your troll jobs.
Oh, it was good.
Actually, you're not troll. You're like me. You're a provocateur.
Provocateur.
Mm. Well, you guys are provocateurs.
I'm kind of a troll, actually.
Yeah.
man, I was trying to elevate you.
I know you did. I know.
Wait, so Grote, provocateur. What is your question about the draft that we want to get answered?
Oh, yes. Is there any picks that confused you in this draft for the Bears? That you didn't like?
No, because the good thing is the Bears set themselves up in a position where they did a lot of work in free agency on the line of scrimmage, and so you enhance that. I mean, the pick that I guess surprised me most was Ruben Hippolyte, but it's not like he's not going to have a role on this team. But you know, you draft someone in what, the fourth round they took him in?
Correct. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, for a guy who's largely going to contribute in theory, will largely contribute on special teams early, but at some point, T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds will likely be moving on here, but. You know, I mean, yeah, I suppose that for a linebacker, a position that none of us went in saying, oh, Bears got to make sure they fortify off-ball linebacker, but he's a good football player.
So he'll be on the field when Kyler Gordon's not, right? As far as the base defense, is that who you foresee?
Theoretically, okay. Sure. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's going to be our first blush look at Dennis Allen and what this defense looks like under him. You know, Noah Sewell, he's still a young draft pick. Were you wondering how much growth, how much emergence could end up coming from him as well? Because, you know, I certainly thought that them drafting Noah Sewell after undrafted free agent Jack Sanborn ended up starting a bunch of games as a rookie. Like, all right, they draft Noah Sewell shortly after that. He's going to overtake Jack Sanborn within the base defense, and it never happened.
Right.
So I'd say as far as a draft pick who were still wondering how much more meat there is on the bone, Noah Sewell would be one of those guys. He became a core special teamer last year. But as far as contributing on defense, his profile, at least from early in college, would indicate that's what he should be by this point in his career, but it hasn't happened yet.
I feel like we've talked a lot about that. Like when we talked about who needed to step up out of previous drafts, you know, that's a topic that you and I discussed. When you look back at this draft now, you know, we're at another year and you consider the past three that we've seen. Noah Sewell is somebody you just mentioned. Who else do you think it is really come down to this year as their time before you're really having to make some tough decisions about who they're replacing those guys with?
I mean, as we look at the roster top to bottom, it's a better team right now, but it's still not a deep roster as I see it. And even looking at the defensive end position off the edge, you know, Dominique Robinson, Austin Booker, again, not guys who you say should be frontline Pro Bowl level contributors, but as far as where the Bears are at the moment, those are guys that they've expended draft capital on and have been waiting for, hoping for, trying to, you know, ensure development from them. And you know, Austin Booker obviously just coming off his rookie season, but Dominique Robinson hasn't done much yet in his Bears career. Austin Booker played a good bit, but didn't really make any plays last season.
Great
for the Bears.
Preseason. That's about it.
That's it so far. So, I mean, you know, as far as just where the roster sits and going into this draft, all right, so they went out and got Dayo Odengbo. That at least gives you someone who you know will be able to play a lot on the defensive front. And a lot of that time will probably be spent at defensive end. But right now, you don't have any other proven edge rushers beyond Montez Sweat. And you will definitely benefit from that at some point when you can add it. Right now, you're just hoping for development. So to your question, Layla, those are two guys that stand out in my mind at the defensive end position that they just haven't gotten a lot of production beyond Montez Sweat there.
What does this running back room look like to you? I like that you're here specifically because they've been playing Who's Your Manungai all day. You saw this guy on several occasions and had a more of a focused view on him. The 21st running back, I believe, taken in this draft, that's beyond the just deep.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what do you think they should do at running back, and how much faith do you have in Manungai?
I know we'd all spoken in different ways about just how they either have someone to sort of replace DeAndre Swift with or just fortify the running back room in some way. And the entire season, I didn't have any real issue with DeAndre Swift with the football in his hands. I felt like the Bears had miscast him. So you go into the draft, several opportunities. It felt like they were there to get someone who could be that additional piece to Swift. You don't get that earlier in the draft, but at least adding Manungai. Bears fans are going to fall in love with him when they first see him in a preseason game. He runs with an intensity, a ferocity. He will gain preseason yards. What does that end up becoming in the regular season? Who knows?
Sounds like Roshan to me. Ran runs with ferocity, sometimes recklessly.
Yeah. Everybody loves him.
Yeah. Right. Now, Kyle Manungai, he was the main rock toter at Rutgers the last two seasons,
makes a couple
1,200-yard years. So he knows how to operate with the football in his hands. Roshon Johnson doesn't really know how to operate as a playmaker Ooh. With the ball in his hands.
Well, he was behind Bijan Robinson right. at Texas. So that's the
dichotomy. Some guys,
Brody.
But some guys are more, I guess, naturally, innately gifted as just kind of playmakers, have that patience and burst as ball carriers and getting into the open field. Roshon Johnson wasn't gifted with that. And so for someone who's gotten so few touches in his football life, then that shows up because he gets the football, he finds somebody to run into, and then he gets tackled. Is there more there for Roshon? Can he become a playmaker? Perhaps. But it's not something he's, you know, really been able to showcase. Whereas to your Manangai question, Kyle Manangai has had hundreds and hundreds of touches in game, getting into the NFL. I would assume he's going to get plenty of touches in the preseason, and he's going to be impressive. He's not someone who's going to immediately become a frontline starter for the Bears, but he's going to be exciting just as far as what he adds to the room.
And, Heron, you were asked about your grade. You got one for this draft?
Oh, yeah.
It's probably generous. B-.
Okay, I gave him a C. So
okay, I mean, you know.
Also C.
I think Colston Loveland is going to be a playmaker. You know, Luther Burden is combustible.
Not gluttonous, by the way. Last year you said Roma Dunze drafting him was gluttonous. Right. Yeah, is that gluttonous now?
I'm glad you asked me that. Yeah. No, because of what they've done on both lines of scrimmage. Okay. They needed more help going in the last draft on the line of scrimmage, on both lines of scrimmage. Where that's where I felt like Roma Dunze, with your second top 10 pick, you get a quarterback and then you get some receiver. When you've already fortified yourself at receiver, that was gluttonous.
Okay.
This year I don't view it as gluttonous because they spent a lot of money in free agency on both lines.
All right. Grody, did you give a grade?
B as in boy. A solid B. Even though I had difficulty predicting, especially the positions that were with Luther Burden, I was able to look at most of these guys and say, yeah, I could see that makes sense. That is something that will work on this team. So I give it a B.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're changing gears slightly here, talking about somebody who didn't get drafted until the fifth round. We wanted to ask you specifically about this whole Shedeur Sanders situation. As a guy who has former football experience as a pro, but also in a front office kind of way, like, what do you make of what happened with Shedeur Sanders, and specifically the prank that came after it? And now
prank was unacceptable.
There's a whole lot going on right now with Shedeur Sanders.
Right, and even like Tyler Warren, the Penn State tight end, he got pranked at one point also. So apparently, NFL coaches with these phone numbers, man, you gotta shut your laptop down or something, not let people just go running around stealing other folks' contact information. But to Shedeur, what surprises me a little bit, and that probably the thing I push back against most strongly, is the idea that somehow his film wasn't worthy of an early draft pick. That's just silly. Now, was he worthy of being QB2 or top five pick? Sure, I think in evaluation there's a good conversation to have about that. But it's striking. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this where, sure, we can, like, you know, one of my partners at SiriusXM, Danny Cannell, he's tweeting about like Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel and Quinn Ewers. Yeah, they came off the board late, but none of them were perceived as early draft picks going into this draft cycle. Whereas Shedeur Sanders, by many folks, was viewed as, at worst, the second best quarterback. Some folks still viewed him as QB1. And a guy like Daniel Jeremiah, who has him in his top 20 in his, you know, in his overall list of rankings of draft prospects, DJ is tied in with teams. Even during the draft, Ian Rappaport, as the Steelers were getting ready to come on the clock, Rappaport is saying, like, yeah, the Steelers are split, maybe half and half. Do they take Shedeur or do they not at pick number 21? So the fact that he's still available and comes off the board in round 5, it's not just the film. I'm not even saying that's all wrong, but there's a lot of folks just claiming, like, he's awful at football, it's just because of the film, it doesn't have anything to do with anything else. That's just not reality to live in right here.
Well, and that's the thing, is you can argue, yes, did a certain network place more importance on him? Sure. Did that same network also broadcast Colorado's season opening game on primetime, you know, national TV? Sure. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason. Like, you look at the other grades that other evaluators were giving him. Second round at the lowest.
And that really even materialized late. You know, we went through about 2 years of him being viewed as a first round pick. Now, yes, the NFL teams get directly involved in this thing after that season ends. And so for the last few months, you get more and more involvement there. And apparently he begins to bomb interviews. Now, why that's not more public until like days leading into the draft, right? Because a lot of this was still this discussion about Shador being a first round pick. And then I'd say, like, I went to Hawaii and he was going to be a top five pick. We came back a couple weeks later. It's like, oh, maybe he'll be available later in the first round. And then like the week of the draft, it turned into he might fall out of round one. Round five was not anything that anyone was really anticipating. And I've discussed Baker Mayfield on the air before, talked about Johnny Manziel. Immaturity has been something that a lot of highly regarded quarterbacks have dealt with going into the draft cycle. Baker Mayfield, you want to tell me he interviewed well and it overruled him trying to run away from the cops during his college career and having sort of middling physical tools? Okay.
It's crazy.
And he's got a nice career going in the NFL. Johnny Manziel, you're not going to convince me Johnny Manziel was impressive in interviews with teams. That's just not a part of his makeup as a person. So it's, you know, it's surprising that all the things that we're hearing now about specifics from how badly the interviews went with Shador, it just materialized so late that I don't know what to make of that aspect of it. But the idea that his film is the reason he didn't go in the first 2 days, that's silly season.
And like you said, the NFL puts up with a lot if they think that guy can help their team.
Yeah.
Period. Anthony Heron, we thank you for joining us on this inaugural edition of Bohemian Harris.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I had to come. Had to show up for this.
We appreciate
Would not miss
you,
it.
Man.
Yeah,
we
that's so nice you. Of you. You headed to Fox 32 soon?
No.
Heading what? Back? You really just came here for this?
Heading home, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Are you going to go back traffic to, then? Are you going to go back to Hawaii?
Grody,
probably not until next year.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we'll see.
I like the way
there's
you
a few
made,
months
made
left
sure
in the offseason.
You just you didn't spend some time there. That elitist pronunciation. He's like, see how I say it? I say it right.
I know you value pronunciations,
I do. I do. Speaking of which,
you want Olin Cruz coming after you, Mark Grody? You want Olin Cruz coming after you?
No.
Hawaii is the pronounced. The proper way to say it.
I know it is. It just sounded funny. Like I felt like you were insisting upon yourself when you said that. I really did.
So.
Yeah,
as
he should. I know this guy well enough to know that he was throwing that out there. He's like, yo, I've been spending time with the natives, and that's how the natives say.
No spam musubi for you.
It's Hawaii. It's not Hawaii.
Oh man, spam's so good. I grew up on fried spam.
Yeah, no spam musubi
all
for you.
Flavors
that
of
is
it.
So good, by the way. Spam musubi or musubi. I don't know how to say it right.
But, I introduced Bishop to it this last trip, and yeah, he was loving it.
Lails. Heck yeah.